Interesting.
I know. So anyway.
We're going to talk some golf in this hour. Jim Harris is going to join us in a moment. We will talk about, you know, maybe Razorbacks landing in the NFL.
Maybe.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, whatever Jim wants to do, we'll talk some Razorback baseball. Hogs ranked, as to the surprise of no one, moving, really kind of holding steady after winning 2 of 3 against a lowly Tennessee team this weekend.
They moved up how many spots? 3?
Actually, didn't move. Didn't move in the Baseball America poll. We're 11th, our 11th.
Okay.
We're 12th, our 12th in the Collegiate Baseball poll. In the USA Today poll, Arkansas was 14th, is 13th.
So moved up one.
Was 14th, is 13th in the NCBWA. And I'll give you 45 cents if you can tell me what NCBWA stands for.
National NCBWA?
Mm-hmm.
National Collegiate
right.
Baseball.
Right.
WA.
WA.
Winning
Writers Association.
Writers Association.
Right.
I knew that.
Speaking of, Jim Harris is probably a voter in said group. He joins us now on the Revolution.
No, I am not.
How does one get into the National Collegiate Writers Baseball Writers Association of Writers?
Rough Writers.
Probably do join the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association, like you do the. I am a member of the Football Writers.
Okay.
Basketball Writers. But I don't vote. About the only thing I vote for is I think something in the Football Writers.
President of the United States.
You're probably the player of the year in the Basketball Writers. Yeah, President.
A lot of people don't, but you can.
But, you know, I'll tell you, you get to where these polls. I think they have the baseball team right. I think we said this last week. I think we were hoping for a sweep, obviously, at home. But, you know, Dave Van Horn's the only sane one among us, I think. He's quick to note that in this league, you know, it's tough to beat any team 3 straight times. And
that's true.
You know, it's just a tough league. They lost the opener at home, but they came back and won the next 2. Big margins. Really put the bat to the ball. Probably Tennessee was 1 deep in Friday night pitching.
Yeah.
Compared to some teams who might have a second starter that's a Friday night ace.
That and
Arkansas has 3.
They lit it up offensively, too, on Friday, as we pointed out yesterday after being ridiculed.
Well, Tennessee did.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they hit, two homers?
I don't know.
I know they were.
They scored a bunch of runs. It was a season high for hits and runs allowed by Arkansas. I know that. 13-8, right?
And it was 4-3 at one point, and they were still in the ball game. And for the first time in a while, the bullpen didn't hold them down. You know, didn't keep them close. And I think before long it was 8-3. And next thing you know, you got your last at bat. No, this is a big series starting Thursday at Auburn. They're all big in the league. Auburn is not what they've been in recent years, playing in that little bandbox of a stadium they've got. I mean, when I went past that place, I thought it was their softball complex. Mm. And, you know, it's got short porches, and they can hit it out. Previous teams they've had have been able to bomb the ball out of the park. Again, Arkansas played well on the road. That bodes well for the NCAA tournament if they don't get a regional.
You'll be surprised if they don't, won't you? I mean, if they win 2 out of 3, it'll be surprising.
I think what they're saying is that probably 4 or 5 SEC teams are going to get regionals. Well, if that's the case, Arkansas probably is the 3rd. I mean, if you rank the teams 1 to 14, I think you've got to say with Arkansas sweep of South Carolina and holding a game edge on South Carolina anyway in the standings that Arkansas is 3rd. You know, Vandy's number 1. They didn't. They and LSU didn't play. Arkansas didn't play Vandy this year. They're 22-2, I guess.
Yeah. By the way, one thing significant we didn't touch on is that Vanderbilt and LSU are 1-2 in the Baseball America poll right now.
Yeah, and I mean they didn't play each other. Which, again, this came up yesterday in the football discussion with the SEC. You've got 14 teams. It's impossible for everybody to play everybody in a round robin baseball without it lasting into June. Well, in football, I mean, if you remember last year, Georgia made the SEC championship game without again, having to play Alabama, LSU, or Arkansas, I think it was, which, I mean, Arkansas was down, as we know, but, you know, before the year, that would have looked like a good game.
Yeah.
South Carolina, of course, had to play LSU. Florida had to play LSU. The schedule doesn't always give us the best team in the East, or the, I mean, it falls in a way that the schedule helps. I don't think Alabama had as tough a schedule with the East as they, as other teams would. So, you know, I don't know. That's obviously going to be a point of contention here. They're talking about a 9-game football conference schedule,
yeah,
which might alleviate some of that. You got a chance to maybe see a more a champion that is more tested by the East as well as the West. I'm talking about Alabama, because they probably have to play, you know, Georgia or Florida,
mm-hmm,
or South Carolina some year. If they, more regularly. Sorry to get away from the baseball talk,
right,
but it's just,
it is interesting to me.
Vanderbilt is 22-2, or whatever their league record is, no games against Arkansas or LSU.
Right.
And the tournament, well, here's a little difference. The tournament means nothing. It's probably the biggest waste of 5 days that there could be.
There must be money being made.
I guess, because they play it in Hoover, and, it's supported pretty well.
But you're right, it is meaningless. I mean, and that's the thing.
Well, there's always the 7th or the 8th team that's wanting to maybe improve their standing.
Mm-hmm.
But it means nothing to these teams. Unless LSU plays Vanderbilt and they go, hey, this is our chance to prove that we were the best. Plus, the final is single limit. You get to the final, and then it's a one and done. It's,
right.
You know,
I asked Todd Butler to come clean with us on it. I said, come on, be honest. We asked him this a couple weeks ago. I said, there is a consensus among fans and media members that you guys don't care if you win or not. And he said, no, we really do, and it's important to Coach Van Horn. That may be coach speak, but I mean.
Sounds like it.
I think if I preface a question with, it's sort of like, with all due respect, you can say whatever you want after that. It's in the Geneva Convention.
Yes.
I think if you preface a question for a coach with, look, let's be real on this now. I want you to be really honest on this one. Don't give me the coach speak answer. Then they should have to.
On statewide radio?
Yeah. I mean, look, come on. You've seen the ratings. There aren't that many people listening. He's not going to bother anybody. Be honest.
Well, the season series that LSU has finished up the regular season this year, they're not going to pitch Nola. He's got a little bit of a tweak in his arm, but if it meant anything, they'd probably have him out there. But LSU can't win the overall. I think now, I don't have the standings in front of me, but Vanderbilt must be 24-2. There's no way for LSU to catch Vanderbilt in the overall record for the league, but they've won the West. So
mm-hmm.
They're just going to kind of play this weekend series like, stay sharp. And
yeah, they're both going to host super regionals. There's nothing to gain. And at the end of the day, this is not like basketball or football where a conference championship has any significance. Either got to Omaha or you didn't. That's what baseball's, measured by, unfortunately. The other thing about that is, Jim, there are four national polls that we look at for baseball. And again, not necessarily as relevant some are as others. But there are four. Doesn't that mean there should be like 16 football polls by comparison? I mean, because of the level of interest in college football versus college baseball?
Well, there probably is, but we only know, like, on the computer side, we know of, what, 5, and they're not going to use those anymore, I think. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
They've been using, I think, that the Harris poll,
mm-hmm,
no relation.
Right, unfortunately.
They used the CNN coaches poll. The AP has a poll, but they don't.
They don't involve themselves in the BCS.
Yes, they don't let it be part of the BCS selection. And then they had all these computer polls that are, if the computer polls were right, shouldn't they all be pretty much right,
mm-hmm, the same?
The same.
I guess some weight, other some things versus others more. I don't know.
Right. And it depends. I mean, humans are entering the data.
Mm-hmm.
And they're obviously telling the data, hey, the Big 12 is a hell of a conference. Bob Stoops says it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to put Kansas State and Oklahoma, you know.
Did you see,
up at the top.
Speaking of that, and we can move on for baseball, Arkansas should smash Auburn this weekend. We'll start looking at important things next week. If Auburn doesn't crush Auburn this week, I'm going to be sad. Okay, did you see that Charlie Weiss is now getting in the mix? The first time Charlie Weiss has been relevant in some time. He's piling on.
Yeah, of course, he coached the last place team in the Big 12, so I wonder if he's wanting to say that the 10th place team in the Big 12 can match up with Kentucky or Auburn.
Yep.
I guess, because that's where he stood. He was terrible.
Charlie
and
Weiss.
He'll be terrible. He'll be in last place again this year.
I hope so, because that means my alma mater won't be.
You know, Charlie Weiss.
Your alma mater has been competitive. I'm sorry, Phil.
He, you know, he did coach in the SEC technically as a as an assistant at Florida, and maybe
right.
What he means is his offense was at the bottom of the SEC when he was at Florida. It was not very good whenever he was there. He couldn't, you know, really make John Brantley into a star caliber quarterback, even though Brantley was highly touted. And so maybe he's just thinking of his offense was lower tier, but
or John Brummett or Max Brantley or anyone else. He says, "Do you know Dane the stats
Chris.
In the SEC? The record of the good guys and the bad guys." Well, that's just hurtful. I'm just saying, you look at the bottom of our league and the bottom of their league, just going based off the numbers, there's validity in what I said. I'm just going based off the numbers. And the point is, and then I think the number I saw quoted in this story, and of course it's a different story, but it was like the bottom half of the league was 0 for 30 against the top half of the league or something like that. It was something crazy like that in the SEC this year.
Speaking
but
of
the top half of the league is that good. He doesn't seem to get it. I mean, you know, if it was a situation where Oklahoma was the Oklahoma powerhouse under Switzer, or even when, you know, Stoops was really had John Blake's players, you know, the bottom half it wouldn't have the record it has. Oklahoma ends up losing.
Right.
Couple here and there. Baylor.
Well, and the thing is,
Baylor went 21 years without beating Oklahoma, and then now, I mean, they're able to play with them. I mean, because Oklahoma has fallen back to the pack more than anything.
You ready for this number? When he was at Florida, his offense put up 334 yards per game, good for 102nd nationally.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, his experience in the SEC ought to. Ought to tell him that defensively, the SEC defensively is by far superior all the way. And I think from top to bottom, I know Auburn went 0-8 or whatever their conference record was, but, I mean, still, their defense will be better this year. I mean, they've got players. I don't think Kansas has any defensive players.
Well, here's the deal. If you took the top and you matched it, if we had more time today, I would do this. I would actually go team for team, and we would do like an SEC Big 12 challenge. And then I would take the SEC and challenge them off, and you go number one seed against number one seed and play them all the way down. And
bracket
you cannot,
style?
Well, and the thing is, look, the SEC has four more teams than the Big 12 10 has.
Yeah.
So that's another issue. I mean, of course, there's going to be a couple stinkers at the bottom, but even the stinkers are not terrible. I mean, who are the stinkers this year?
Arkansas.
Okay.
Auburn.
You tell me Arkansas couldn't beat Kansas?
No, I'm just telling you Arkansas,
Auburn. Kansas is better than their Kansas, and their Kansas State in most cases.
They're Kansas in Arkansas.
Exactly.
Yes.
Arkansas.
Anyway, it's just irritating to me, but it's the whole thing is just crazy. Anyway, you know what? Like I said, there are certain things you can debate.
Missouri.
This is not one of those things that's debatable. I mean, yeah, exactly. Missouri was competitive in the Big 12. They come over here and stink it up.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll continue. I don't think they'll still be in, you know, be the bottom part of the league the rest of the way. But, you know, for now they are. I mean, that should be a fair comparison. Now, flip side, you got A&M, and they had a great year. So, but they also had lightning in a bottle, new coaching staff. And
Johnny Football.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they would have probably
The table.
Yeah, I don't think they probably would have gotten touched too much in the Big 12 either.
I think they would have run the table.
They really got to change their name, by the way. I'm really.
I think if Texas A&M 2 years ago had Johnny Football, and Sumlin as head coach, I think they would have been a very impressive football team. I don't think they would have blown the kind of games that they did under Mike Sherman, but. I guess that's neither here nor there. I think they would have been, you know, 10 or 11 win team, though.
Jim, we talked at length. Chris was with me yesterday when we were out at Maumelle talking about the Tiger Woods, Sergio Garcia deal. And Tiger's big thing is, and again, you know, a little bit of it, Sergio whining. There's no way he can make me believe.
Hey, it was great drama.
It was. It was good.
It made it kind of interesting to watch.
Definitely.
I love a good cat fight, no pun intended, when it comes to Tiger. But anyway, it was fun to watch that. But the thing is, Sergio had plenty of time to step away from the ball or stop before he took the swing. He let it go, and he should have stopped, and he could have reset. He didn't do that. Anyway, here's the thing we didn't talk about. It comes down to the wire. Our philosophy, our theory on this is that Sergio in no way wanted to go to a playoff. He was going to win or lose that tournament
right.
on 17.
I agree.
So his whole deal was, screw that. I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory, or I'm going to win this sucker with a birdie on 17. The one thing we never talked about, which is not that far-fetched, as good as Tiger is that he could have bogeyed 18. See, we assumed, okay, he's thinking, I got to birdie one of these last two holes, or I'm going to have to go to a playoff. But what you also have to think is, well, gee, 18's a really hard hole.
Number one handicap on the course.
And he could easily bogey 18. So if I'm, again, if I'm his caddy, I'm saying, bro, middle of the green. Middle of the green, Holmes. Don't be stupid. But no.
I think he should have played for, you know, a safe par on 17. I mean, he's going for the glory. The guy who had to do it was Lingmerth. I mean, he had to put one, you know, close enough to maybe birdie.
Right. That's the thing. If you had to birdie, it's one thing. If you can par out and potentially get to a playoff if the other guy doesn't birdie 18.
Or win if he bogeys it, then.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and except for that one loose swing on 14, Tiger played smart with the lead. I mean, he played like he does when he leads. That's why it's hard to beat. You know, somebody to come from behind to beat him, it's hard for him to come back from behind in the last round, as it's proven too. But he's such a solid golfer with the lead. I mean, he hits three wood on 18, and actually that's what they questioned Lingmerth on that hole. He hit driver through the fairway. If he hits his three wood, and he may not have hit his three wood that much Sunday, but if he hits three wood, he might have had a better shot at getting the birdie he needed.
Right. The only person I know who pays close attention to college golf is Trey Schaap, and even he, I don't know if he knew much about David Lingmerth when he was at Arkansas. Do you remember what kind of player he was, or do you remember much about him?
Only that he was consistent. He and Ethan Tracy both were consistently two of the better players in the country. I mean, they were really good. Ethan Tracy won the Western Am over Patrick Cantlay 2 years ago. I guess it was. Probably everybody's going, who the heck is Ethan Tracy? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's trying to make it in the pro world too, but I mean, they were solid golfers. That's what I found kind of unusual these days, as opposed to maybe back when Daly was in school there, and, you know, not long afterward, like when David White, Jack O'Keefe, and those guys were playing golf at Arkansas, it got tons more coverage than it seems to get these days. And I don't know if it's because these guys are, I mean, Ethan Tracy, I believe, is from Ohio. You know, Lingmerth is from Sweden. It could be that it's not really native Arkansans playing for the Razorbacks. So maybe that connection is there for the coverage, that kind of thing. But we used to, I mean, when I was beat man's in Fayetteville for the Gazette, we traveled, to Bartlesville for tournaments to watch the Razorbacks playing in the Central Regional, that kind of thing. And I mean, I don't even know if they, do anything but get an SID report, and then when Lingmerth does well, then I know I saw Tom Murphy today had a story, about him. But I think this weekend might have been the first time Razorback fans, a lot of Razorback fans, had heard about David Lingmerth or seen him in person. And frankly, I didn't realize that he was that, more like Sergio's size.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was more of a, Henrik Stenson-y looking guy than, 5'9".
Yeah, he's a little squatty dude.
Yeah, a little, power guy.
And by squatty, I mean he's built exactly like I am.
Yes, he's a little acre-y.
Yeah, he is. He's actually a bigger acre-y, and he's much more talented. Jim, real quick, Felix Jones to Philadelphia. Thoughts?
Yeah. Surprising there. I think Felix is obviously on the down turn of his career. put on weight, doesn't get it off as quick, injury prone lately too. So I guess that the Eagles picked him up for some, you know, extra running back.
If I told you he played in all 16 games last year, would that surprise you? Because it sure did me.
I don't remember him being out, but I don't remember him starting. But what, just five games, I guess.
Yeah, I would say he was probably not at full strength for probably 15 of 16 games,
yeah.
And he played in all 16. So I will give him credit for that.
But for him, the thing I've noticed more is he's just beginning to carry a lot more weight.
Yeah.
And that's obviously got to cut down on that speed. He's not
relate to that. I feel your pain, Felix.
26, he's getting old.
That's it.
Well, it's sad but true.
Next thing you know, you'll be 39, wondering where it all went.
You know, this has to be a big year for McFadden.
Yeah.
He's got to probably try to stay healthier than he has and produce with the new quarterback that they'll have.
T-Dub.
Hopefully.
My boy T-Dub.
T-Dub.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Hey, who is Wiggins signed with? Or
he ended up signing
with Kansas.
With Kansas. If you're wondering who we're talking about, he's the number one player.
Well, yeah, because Big Baby put up there. ESPN is saying Andrew Wiggins is going to Kansas, and I'm like, who's going where?
Andrew Wiggins turned into be the most highly recruited player, I guess, at the end for this season. Kentucky, Kansas, and Florida State were supposed to be at the end.
How big is he?
He's 6'7", and he's a small forward from Huntington, West Virginia.
That's good. Well,
but originally from Canada.
On the same team as Moses Kingsley.
Oh, okay. I was going to say he could play with Hunter Mickelson, but since Hunter will have to sit, I'm assuming he'll be gone.
His father, Mitchell Wiggins, played at Florida State and then was in the NBA for several years. So he's his mother was like a champion sprinter.
I think she was an Olympian too.
Hmm. Yeah,
he's got good genes.
He's got it all. He's kind of like Mike Conley Jr. Man, that guy's
genetically
great.
Yeah, genetically gifted.
Speaking of a guy who's come on strong.
Sam Heath did not think that Mike Conley Jr. was big time.
Jim, what are you piling on poor Stan Heath? He suffered enough.
Well, you know, if he did, he might still be the Razorback coach.
That might be true. Jim, I appreciate the time as always. You want to take a shot at anybody else before you go?
Not anybody I can think of.
I don't believe that.
Hey, this weekend, the NCAA regional is one of six is at the Blessing in Johnson outside of Fayetteville.
Have you played there?
I haven't played there.
We got to get on there sometime. I want to play up there. I heard it's hard.
I featured it, though. I wish I could play there. I spoke to John Tyson and featured it in our 2013 executive golf.
Yeah, that's right. We need to go up there.
Arkansas business.
We need to go up there and see if we can get, they'll let us play, and, you know, we'll eat some chicken. We'll hang out. We'll really Tyson it up for the whole weekend. It'll be big.
I'd like to find out if we can get on there. I hear we don't want to play it from the
tips.
So
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how the SEC scores.
Yeah.
How those players fare.
Harry King said it's the most intimidating golf course he's ever seen visually. So that's that doesn't bode
well. Justin, I do know this about it. There's a lot of 240 yards, you know, like a lot of forced carries, as they call
it. Yeah, I don't like those. I don't like to be forced to do anything, especially carry a golf ball.
I'd be laying up with a.
I can't have my wages garnished, and I can't be forced to carry anything, Jim. What am I, a pack mule?
I don't want to lay up to the women's tees to then get over the hazard.
That's it. Maybe we should play the women's tees. You know?
Good afternoon.
I've been thinking about a gender change anyway. Jim, I appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys.
Just thought I'd
see you, Jim.
Follow Jim on the Twitter machine. Also, he is available at SportingLifeArkansas.com. You can find all of his fine work. It's 11:31. We're going to talk a little Riverfest and give